opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Brown's new back tattoo?
No.
I mean, that is some serious work.
I just don't have the time to sit there.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And get that done, or want to sit there and get that done.
So, from Dove, Chiefs wide receiver Hollywood Brown got a crazy fullback tattoo that is themed around his love for himself and his accomplishments. That's a tough tweet to put there.
Yeah.
It includes his entire football journey from college to the NFL. And then, of course, it's Hollywood is ready to add another Super Bowl ring this upcoming season.
Well, who's not?
No, I'll send you this like video they show. That looks painful, especially around those love handles. But the Royals conversation, Vern at 8:20 on this show today. I'm sure you're human. You're a sports guy. You're a baseball guy. You were tapped in throughout your vacation. I can guarantee it. But I said last week, They had to go 5-2 on this road trip. They went 4-3. Split with Texas, won 2 out of 3 versus Arizona. That's great if you're above 500.
Sure.
You're not above 500. You're backed against the wall. I was talking to Aussie earlier today. You have the Pirates Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you have the Mets Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Gotta go 5-1 on this homestand. And if you don't, in my opinion, I still think I'm at the point now, it's maybe time to sell. And I don't think that selling necessarily indicates that it's over. And I know that sounds like a bunch of hogwash and a bunch of bias, but again, if you move Lugo or you move Lorenzen, well done yesterday, Michael
Yeah,
Lorenzen.
Well done. Yeah.
Put yourself that? Out yeah. there, baby. I don't think it necessarily means that you're saying our season is over, we're done, depending on what you get back. But we have seen this in the past where stuff like this can kind of alter a team's direction. Like, oh, the front office is moving Lugo and they're going to move Estevez and they might think about moving maybe Vinny. I don't know. I just saw names over the weekend
sure.
where there was like a list of, you know, obvious trade pieces and it was Lugo and Lorenzen. Minor trade pieces that you get up, Garcia. And then it was like blockbuster type moves, Pasquantino and who was the other? Bubich, mm-hmm. right? All-star Chris Bubich. Those were like, if you want to really shock the foundation of baseball, it's like the Royals just moved Bubich for who? Because you better get a haul for those
guys.
Yeah. If you're going to move those guys with team control and what they have. But I do think, you know, because you made all your moves internally. What do you do now? You didn't go 5-2 on this road trip. You split in Texas. You had kind of a heartbreaking loss, I want to say, on Thursday night. And then Friday, you handled business. Yesterday, the shutout, Lorenzen, was insane. Mm-hmm. You won Friday night, lost Saturday, won and then won Sunday. So I don't know where you're at on the Royals, but for me, I'd like to be the team that shops early because we saw the Tigers do this in the past where they moved Flaherty last year. Now, again, the Tigers were hitting.
Yeah.
The Royals still are not hitting.
They're still not hitting. No, nobody's hitting. And that's why, you know, the Friday before I went away on vacation, I said, look, it's time to move on. It's time to open up the floodgates and start trading everybody because this is still not a playoff team. There's still five games under 500, and we're just basically at the All-Star break. And we can continue to push it out and push it out. But at the end of the day, this team is just not good enough to be a postseason team right now. Now, you can sell and you can also add to your team. And I think that's something that the Royals need to do. I was talking about somebody in baseball over the weekend, and they're like, I think the Royals' plan is to try to add and subtract. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of a good idea. You could subtract a guy like Seth Lugo, but also add somebody in from a bat perspective. Taylor Ward's name keeps popping up from Anaheim. We've been talking about him for 2 years now. It's like either time to make that move, Anaheim, or not make that move. And there was some cat from Pittsburgh that, you know, is an outfielder that will be here. That's like a 240 hitter that people were talking about as a potential add for the Royals when it comes to an outfield bat. But I mean, until they can find a way to continue to, drive runners in when it matters and hit with runners in scoring position and get the job done when it matters most, they're just not a postseason team. And so I think right now you can't live in the world where you think you're a postseason team when you're really not a postseason team. And that's the good and bad about the final wild card spot being added in. It creates excitement and people think they're in when they're really not in, though. And that's where the organization needs to have that understanding that, look, we're not really a playoff team at this point in time. We need to do what's best for the overall organization, and that is to go out there and find ways to make ourselves better from an offensive standpoint. We have the ability and the wherewithal to afford trading Seth Lugo at this point in time or trading Michael Lorenzen at this point in time. Noah Cameron has given you the opportunity to make a major move from one of your starting pitchers. And to me, that has Seth Lugo written all over it. The expiring contract at the end of the year and the age and where he is and the veteran savvy, like he would be great for a postseason team. And I think that's the move that the Royals really, truly need to make to move their organization forward. Seth Lugo is a trade piece that you have out there that is very, very valuable right now. And I think it's one that can bring you a lot back in return. And Estevez may be that guy too, Dusty. I like that mindset as well because, as everybody knows, you've got to find ways to close out games. And if you don't have a legitimate closer at the back of your bullpen and you're getting into the postseason, you're probably not going to win a lot of those games in the postseason. So I think Estevez and Lugo right now are the two most attractive, most valuable trade pieces that the Royals have, and I think they should trade both of those guys at this point.
Seth Lugo's last seven starts, 38 and a third innings pitched, a 2.11 ERA, a whip of 1.10, 41 strikeouts, 15 walks. He's 35 years old, will be a free agent next year.
So unbelievable.
And people will say, well, like, why would you trade Lugo? Because if you don't, he walks.
Yeah,
and
he
then
walks.
They don't have anything.
Right.
And I brought up the point last week that they traded Aroldis Chapman and got Cole Reagans.
That's
and
right.
Nobody knew who Cole Reagans was. They were calling him Reagans. Nobody knew who this guy was. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, diamond in the rough, here he is. Now, again, been hurt this year.
Right.
But again, if you lose Lugo at the All-Star break, you're supposed to be getting Reagans back. So there's your,
right.
You're there. You would still have Bubich. You would still have, at the time, Lorenzen, unless he goes. Mm-hmm. But you would then spearhead your rotation. Again, we're spoiled having five guys.
I mean, it's great.
But you would have Reagans, you would have Bubich, and you would have Noah Cameron as your top three in your rotation. If you add a piece in your lineup that can somehow drastically change the narrative of this offense, then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we can score. And if we have to give up a few, I think now we believe. Again, I still think they need to sell because there's a team in your division that's having a very atrocious year in the Cleveland Guardians, mm-hmm. and they're going to sell.
Yes.
I would see Class A be an option. Mm-hmm. I would see Jose Ramirez being an option.
Boy, you don't trade Ozzy, man. Like if you're Cleveland and you trade Jose Ramirez, boy, you might as well contract your franchise. That's like that's like a Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino type of trade to me.
Age is different.
Age is different. You're right about that. But like that's
and you missed your window.
Yeah.
Like the Royals technically the window is still there. And the Guardians, man, like you had the World Series won with Ramirez on that roster and blew it against the Cubs in 2015. Yeah. Maybe he was like a rookie then, but you won your division last year. you got to the ALCS last year and lost to the Yankees.
Yeah.
And then this year, you're worse than the Royals.
Oh, yeah. You're bad right now. You're a game and a half worse than Kansas City.
You
yeah.
think we're talking about selling. They're talking about selling and rebuilding an entire new lineup. The Royals don't have to necessarily do that.
No.
I think that, you know, Bobby and Vinny and all these guys, I think they're going to be fine.
Ramirez has got years on his deal, too, I think.
Yeah, he signed one a couple years ago.
Yeah, so if they're going to trade Jose Ramirez, they better get their entire organization back in return.
And then we saw the Nationals this weekend.
Yep.
Their GM and their manager got fired. So it's starting to happen. The dominoes are falling. Now, how in tune you are because of the holiday weekend is on you. But, I mean, once that's the other thing, too. It's, you know, once these pieces start getting added outside of you, then all of a sudden it's like, well, we don't really need a third base anymore. It's like, dang it. We don't need a starting pitch anymore. All right. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I guess we're going to try to pack this all in and go get it in the second half. And we lost Carlos Estevez because you have the luxury of having Lucas Cercek.
Right. But also, too, if you don't make these trades, you know, you're limiting the people of which you can trade to. And as you mentioned, each time somebody makes a move, it's one less team out there that maybe needs what you could potentially be selling. The good news is I think every team could use Estevez right now, and every team could use Seth Lugo. No matter who you are, I think those two pieces are very, very valuable, and every organization would love to insert Seth Lugo into their postseason rotation, and every organization would love to assert Estevez into the back end of that bullpen, you know, for whoever it is that they're playing for or against. They would love to have that guy at the back end of their bullpen. So I think the Royals do have two very valuable trade pieces. And just because you trade doesn't mean you're quitting, doesn't mean you're giving up on life or anything like that. Trades are to make yourself get better. And a lot of times we see guys traded whose names we know, and we don't know who's coming back in return. So we're scared, we're nervous, we're fearing. And sometimes you just have to trust the people in charge to go ahead and make the right moves. Like you mentioned, the Cole Reagans trade, the Tyreek Hill trade. There's been trades over the years where guys have been moved and everyone, I can't believe we're trading that guy, and you come out better on the other side. That's why for me, once that Tyreek Hill trade went down, just about everybody on both rosters in Kansas City is available for a trade. You have to explore what you have, and you have to explore what you could get, because there may be a player out there that you're not thinking about that gets offered up to you that you think about and go, okay, that guy really does make our overall organization better. And so that's the short-sightedness versus the long-sightedness. You can't focus right now and think you're still a playoff team. You have to operate like you're out of the playoffs and make the moves that best suit your ball club moving forward.
Some of the best suits this ball club moving forward is Mac Morey, and Mac Morey takes over the show on the other side with One Word Plus is Dying. Chiefs question is, we are almost just 2 months away, baby. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mac's awesome.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
670 westbound through downtown, still slow. You're heavier coming off of 70 and 71. Then it's sluggish over to 35 where it bogs down into a construction area where you're down to one lane. And then past that, you're forced to exit at Wyoming Street. Folks are crossing on the James Street Bridge. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Next Monday, a week from today, we'll have the Home Run Derby. Still don't have all the contenders, I don't think, unless I'm missing something.
That'll probably come out like later on this week, you know, as we get closer and closer and they start to bribe more guys to go do the Home Run Derby this year. So.
Right. So Ronald Acuna's in it, the hometown hero there for now. He's also, from what I've seen, rumored to be traded. James Wood, the sensation that is in Washington. And Cal Raleigh. Yeah. Those are the three that I know of, if I'm missing any. And then I also heard that Pete Alonso is not going to do the Home Run Derby, so praise be to that.
Yes.
We don't have to watch him go work out while somebody's hitting mammoth shots. And then I hope and pray that Bobby tries to do it one more time, because I think after this year, if you do it twice and it's like, okay, you've done it twice, it's like, you know, when you lose consistently in the hot dog race, you should probably stop trying to run in the hot dog race.
Right.
Not mention any names, but Cal Raleigh, James Wood, Ronald Acuna Jr., all in it. I would love to see Bobby give it one more go. I don't know if he will, but I guess more announcements will be made as we get further along into what is the All-Star festivities. But Monday night, Home Run Derby, Tuesday night, All-Star game. Then Wednesday, we get into our Mount Rushmores. Pizza toppings, sandwich bread, smash or pass, you know, that kind of stuff. But we are only, how many days, Mac?
61 days.
Until the first official NFL game of the season, right. Which is Philadelphia. Exactly right. Oh, no. It's Kansas City and the Chargers.
Yep.
Go, Chargers, go.
Have they acknowledged that game yet, featuring Philadelphia and the Dallas Browns, or are we still on the Chiefs and Chargers on that Friday?
Somebody's going to text in and say, the Browns play in Cleveland. 3, 2, 1. Go ahead, Mac.
61 days. It does feel closer. You guys were talking about in the overreaction. It does feel like football started over the weekend.
Even Nine we're Sundays, still baby.
It's getting close. 2 weeks tomorrow, training camp starts for the Kansas City Chiefs. Before that, a couple other training camps around the league I'm sure will start because I know the Chiefs are a week later than they usually get it going.
Andy wants them to feel it in St. Joe.
Yeah, he does.
Speaking of deadlines, speaking of things starting for Trey Smith, that deadline is just 8 days away now. A week from tomorrow will be the deadline for him to get a deal done, or else he will play on the franchise tag this season. So it's a two-parter. July 15th is that deadline. Do they sign him? / should they extend and sign him? That is the question. 913-586-7965.
Can I add a third part in there?
Absolutely.
No. Two. Okay.
You said Matt the Chiefs question.
Can they sign him? Will they? What did you say? Can they sign him?
Should they? Do they? Yes.
Yeah. Who's it more important for to get this deal done? Trey Smith or the Chiefs?
Trey.
I agree. I think it's much more important for Trey Smith to get the deal done than it is for the Kansas City Chiefs to get the deal done.
Question.
And so that's why I think
they
will.
My initial would be the other way, so I'm curious.
Oh, because Trey is a six-round draft pick and has made no money, and you only have a certain amount of opportunity to cash in this league.
For sure.
So, and right now you're healthy, okay? Yeah. Right now you're 100%, you're ready to go. God forbid something would happen over this course of the season and you're only playing on the franchise tag, and you have no sort of fallback plan on that. There's no insurance policy for you. You get hurt, you're done, and the rest is history. So I'd say that for any guy that's thinking about going into the season and playing on the franchise tag and not getting a long-term deal done. If you're stuck on peanuts right now, and I don't know what they're stuck on, but if it's peanuts and it's a matter of pride versus anything, I'd say sign the deal. Get that deal done if you're Trey Smith, because you've already played, 4 years in this league for no money because you were a sixth-round draft pick. Now you have the opportunity to cash in. Everything is good right now. You've got a really nice offer, I would imagine, from the Chiefs. I would take that offer if I were Trey Smith right now. You negotiate as much as you can, obviously, to get what you want. But at the end of the day, man, you're a guard. And so they traded Joe Tooney. I would think right now it's probably more important for Trey Smith to get a deal done than it is for the Chiefs to get Trey Smith signed. They traded Tyreek Hill as well. People are interchangeable in this team, on this team.
I think it's Trey because I don't think we're going to see the same sort of saga we saw with Chris Jones. Trey was at, OTAs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't miss those. Jones skipped that out.
Well, mandatory mini camp he was at, right? He wasn't at all the OTAs.
At all the OTAs.
Okay,
that's
so
fair.
Mandatory mini camp. Yeah. Chris Jones didn't go to those.
No.
I do believe Trey Smith will be in St. Joe.
For sure.
And I know that sometimes, St. Joe can be a death trap for wide receivers or linemen because it's, those guys are moving more than anybody else in the field for the first couple of days. And, one bad step in a, in a pothole or, one bad, pectoral strain, then all of a sudden you've lost $5, 6, 7 million, and I don't think you're going to see Trey hold out. I don't think you're going to see him wait. I don't think he's that guy. At least from what I've seen so far, he's shown up to do things. He's there for everything else. I think he shows up to St. Joe, but I do think this is one of those things. It's going to be one of those summer conversations with football where I think we're going to get to the last week of camp, and it's going to be like, hey Trey, come on in here and see this piece of paper and see that number. Welcome to the family, for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
Or at least for the next 4 or 5 years. I think that's when it gets done. I have no fear of this. Chris Jones, that thing was a saga, man. I didn't know when that was going to end. It had no end in sight.
And then that one was a saga because nobody expected it to be a saga, and it turned into a saga. That was a blindsider for the team that it went that direction. And so...
And it got ugly.
Oh, God, did it. Yeah, it did.
This time in talks with Chris Jones 2 or 3 years ago, things were positive. We wouldn't have said, this is going to go into the first game.
If you would
have
asked me this question 2 years ago about Chris Jones, I would have said 100% he signed before training camp started.
Exactly. Because
that was the feeling around the team, too. Right. They thought they were very close to getting something done. And then out of left field, if you will, they didn't. And so I hope they're not in that same spot you know, with Trey Smith. But, you know, get the deal done. It's better for both parties. Each entity is better with the other. But I do think, I always think it's more important for the player to get the deal done than to go into the year on a franchise tag, because this is it. If you get hurt and you end your career this year, you literally have nothing to fall back on. So I think if I'm Trey Smith, you get the deal done. And it will be a nice deal. It may not be what you want. They never are in any industry, right? But you take the deal, you get the deal, and you're set for life.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be over $20 million a year, which the reason I maybe say the Chiefs is more important is because that number will go up even higher if they don't sign it this year. But you're right. I mean,
or they'll just move on from him and go with somebody else.
Which is the other thing I say it's important to get it done this year, because move on and do what? You don't have another plan. You don't have another option. You've kind of put all your eggs in the Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and now Josh Simmons basket.
Well, I will say this. Let's say Simmons is ready to go day one. Let's say Kingsley doesn't work out, but that dude, Jalen Moore, works out. Is that a backup plan for more than just one position with Jalen Moore? Like, do you want to pay Trey Smith that much money for a guard? I know that's the going rate. Dallas did it for years and had one of the best offensive lines, and they paid their guards. And I know Trey Smith's fantastic dude. He's somebody that you want in this city. You want on your franchise. But at what point does it get to that? Because Karlaftis, McDuffie, those are names that still need to get paid. Rashee Rice in a couple years, if they keep him around. These are names, right? Mahomes' contract getting more and more expensive. Sure. I know that he'll continually always do the whole like backtrack or furlough it off or however that he makes it work. But
the Rice, the Worthies,
I mean, but that's the thing that you're getting into now. I mean, there were 2 years ago, and now that we go back to that, when the whole situation involving Chris Jones was taking place, they wanted to get more done that offseason, but they couldn't because Chris Jones held everything up. It was Bolton they wanted to get signed. They wanted to get Trey Smith signed. They wanted to get Trent McDuffie signed. Like, those are the three guys that were kind of on their list in their pecking order of who they wanted to sign. Bolton has been kind of taken care of, right, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah.
McDuffie's not till next offseason right now. And so Trey Smith is the guy that you're focused on right now. And so, I think they ultimately get a deal done with Trey Smith. I just hope it's not one of these knockdown, drag-em-out deals that we saw with Chris Jones, because that didn't benefit anybody.
The other thing I like about it, too, is that his position and name is not a name like Chris Jones in that position. Like, Chris Jones was, like, the story with not getting signed. It was, like, him and Bosa.
Is there anybody else on the franchise tag that has not signed their contract? So if this does become an issue, because now that people are coming back out of the holiday break and everything, the focus is going to be on the NFL now, as it should be in sports, right?
The two biggest names that are seeking contracts.
Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, three, I guess. So, yeah, Hendrickson, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons.
T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, too.
Which is coincidence about this is, obviously, Dallas will wait and pay Micah Parsons on the last day possible, and they'll end up overpaying for him because of the fact that Trey Hendrickson's probably going to get a contract, I would think. I think he's probably on a franchise tag.
Is there anybody else? How many franchise tags are out there right now?
I mean, it's T. Higgins, which is why they can't give Trey Hendrickson the franchise tag, because they have T. Higgins.
I thought they gave him a contract.
Sam Darnold.
Didn't T. Higgins sign something?
They gave T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase like a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, because they have a potential out. It's a two-year deal.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold,
he's not on the franchise tag.
He got signed by Seattle.
He's Seattle. He left.
That might be 2024's franchise tags. But that's the thing, is like the contract talk around the NFL will revolve around three guys that all basically play the same position: Mike Parsons, Hendrickson, and TJ Watt. Mm-hmm. I asked a question last week when you were gone. Would you trade tomorrow Trent McDuffie for TJ Watt?
I have to think about that. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
TJ Watt, 30 years old.
Yeah.
Gonna want Chris Jones money. But could you imagine?
Yeah.
TJ and CJ?
Yeah. Yeah, but how long are you gonna get that? 1-2 years, you know?
Two, maybe three.
Yeah.
TJ Watt's probably only missed one season with injury.
No, I was mean Chris Jones being old.
Oh, yeah. They're the same age.
Yeah.
Plus, they each give each other an advantage. Plus, you throw Karlaftis on the other side.
Yeah, I mean,
and you trust Veach and what he's done with cornerbacks in this organization?
Yeah, I mean, so you're making a good case for it. I don't.
Yeah, TJ and CJ would be nasty.
That'd be amazing. It'd be the best duo in the league of any position, maybe. Yeah, it'd be incredible. I think Trey Smith right now is the only franchise tag that I'm seeing. So,
he's
going to be the headline if this tends to extend. And I will emphasize how important this is for the Chiefs, because their future of the offensive line is weary.
No, it is. It's
murky, I should say.
It's an important move, no doubt. But just because we don't know what the answer is doesn't mean it's bad. Dusty and I were talking about something, you know, before the show today. And I go, people get all upset. They don't know what the answer is. They think it's bad. It's just different. It's just unknown. Trey Smith is a nice player. Everybody's expendable on this team other than the quarterback right now.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Let's stick it there on the gridiron. One word on the Chiefs training camp starting 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Well, I think we're all excited about it, right? It's time to get back to the nitty gritty. I'm going to use the one word excited because this is now the time of the year where I guess the golf thing will take place in Tahoe. And once that's, you know, the clubs are put away, they'll all be focused on getting ready to start training camp. And we're 15 days away from it right now. I'm excited about it because I'm just excited to watch this team take the revenge from losing the Super Bowl, getting their you-know-what kicked in, and going out there and just lighting this rest of the league scorched earth on fire, new haircut, excited.
I'll say hot. One, because of obviously when, you know, you and I'll go down there, we'll do a show. It's brutal. The show will start at 10 a.m., but it'll feel like it's 1 in the afternoon with the heat. But also, like, Chiefs stuff is heating up, right? This weekend, we saw Mahomes on the boat, flexing, loving life. Mm-hmm. That's his vacation time, which means right after that, we go from shirtless and shades to yellow jersey and throwing it behind his back going, what's he going to do this year? So everything is heating up. It's hot. Chiefs talk. Royals are struggling. People want something new, exciting, football. They got their asses kicked in the Super Bowl. Well, here we go again. Time to go to all the doubters, two middle fingers, and get ready. So, I mean, it's getting hot, baby. That's I can tell you that for sure.
We're 15 days away from Mahomes doing something in practice and everybody losing their minds, which is awesome.
And you can tell he's ready. He's going to be on Kay Adams today. This was a little snippet from it.
I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk and talk, and I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there.
One word right there. I'll let you listen to it again.
I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk and talk, and I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there.
Frightening. I am frightened for 31 other teams in the National Football League this year because you're about to get beat in a bad way by a bad man.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. What's up, brother? Yeah, he's about to F the league.
Yeah, he really is. So, rest of the league.
And I love that because, you know, the question that was being asked was, you know, what do you say to all the doubters and the people that think that, you know, that it's over? And it's like, you know, I love it. Give me that because the best version of Patrick Mahomes is his alter ego in Petty Mahomes.
Yes.
And when we see that and other if we see it, those teams see it. And when those teams see it, right, it's like when Jordan lost money gambling with some guys and then said, I'm going to go play against Dan Marley. I'm going to get 40 on him.
Yeah.
And then he went out and got 40 and took himself out of the game once he got the 40th point on Marley. Like, when you get petty and you're great, that's a bad combination
for
everybody else.
There's not many that have been
Tiger.
That way. There's Tiger, Jordan, and Mahomes, really. Maybe Brady.
Brady's petty.
Yeah.
He can't win without deflated balls or Spygate. Watch this five more times.
Yeah. Brady is. So maybe those four.
And I don't know about you, but those are four of the greatest athletes we've ever seen.
Ever.
So, yeah, man, Tuesday. Tuesday.
And the 479 Goosebumps. It's a good one too. One word, Notre Dame's weekend signings. This is crazy. This will make you feel old. One word here. Notre Dame is going to have a 2026 wide receiver room that has sons of Jerome Bettis, Larry Fitzgerald, JerMichael Finley, and Plaxico Burress. That's just at wide receiver. You can throw in Lloyd Carr's grandson at QB, Bryant Young.
Lloyd Carr's grandson, the former Michigan coach, is sending his grandson to Notre Dame.
Lloyd Christmas.
Bryant Young's son at DA defensive end and Jim Flanagan's son at tight end.
Who?
Jeffrey's grandson.
Who the hell's Jim Flanagan?
Jeffrey's grandson.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Used to cover the Royals.
I saw Jeffrey Flanagan the other day, actually. Ran into him at the J. It's good to see Flanny. No.
But Bettis, Fitzgerald, Finley, and Plaxico Burress.
Go back to the who's the guy?
Flanagan?
Yeah, Father Flanagan from Boys Town? Is that like, who's Tim Flanagan? Or
Jim
whoever?
Flanagan? Yeah. I don't know. But one word on the guys you do know and their sons being on Notre Dame. He was a defensive lineman.
I never heard of that guy. That's cool. Cool. Like, everybody's like, this is kind of where we're headed in college football, like the Heatles back in the day, you know? Yeah. Like, get everybody together and let's get some names. And I think it's cool.
My one word would be Freeman.
Yeah, he's a badass dude.
I mean, dude, he's 39 years old. He's essentially probably the same age, if not in the same area, as Larry Fitzgerald, Plaxico Burress, Jerome Bettis. Sure. I know they're like early 40s, late, you know, mid 40s.
Like that ballpark, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So you look at what Marcus Freeman did last year at Notre Dame. You saw how he just kind of brought the gold helmets back. And I hate Notre Dame, but I like this dude. And boy, am I confused, because
it's hard, isn't it?
I mean,
getting to that age in life where you start liking people and you hate teams, you know.
But Marcus Freeman's a dog, and these guys are like, "Hey, that's where you're going to go play." Now, we've seen this before.
It's a great hire by Notre Dame.
It's fantastic, and he'll be in the NFL sooner than later. But again, like, if you're going to get to the NFL, why not coach the future of the NFL and see what you can do, and then carry that out? But my one word for Notre Dame is we're going to be Freeman, man. Like, that's. Just goes to show you, man, like, when you have a guy like that, that now that generation's kids are going to be athletes and they know him. Hey, Marcus, my kid's interested in Notre Dame. You want to come and hang out? Okay, sounds good. NIL,
and bring your checkbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Texas Tech over the weekend? They're announcing a $55 million in NIL revenue sharing money, because that started on July 1st. And that's for their whole department. That includes their softball team, too. That's not just football. So $55 million, that's not going to be enough money to take care of everybody.
No, they're on the come, though.
Oh, yeah.
One word on the Royals.
What conference are they playing? Never mind.
One word on the Royals all-star selections.
Fine. Nobody else really. I mean, other than Estevez, you know, you're not really making the case for a lot of others to make the all-star team. Lugo, maybe, but it's fine.
Garcia?
I mean, nobody really knows who he is, you know?
I guess that would be the flaw with the all-star game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, snubbed. I mean, I think there should have been at least two more. I think you should have had Estevez for sure. You could make a case for Michael Garcia, but it would debunk my Jacob Wilson, Bobby Witt Jr. thing. Like, do you want to see Jose Ramirez and Lance Bregman?
Yeah, Lance Armstrong. Yeah.
Or do you want to see Michael Garcia and Jacob Wilson on the left side of the field?
Nah, you're
right.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot. That's just the way it is. Like, but I think Bobby should have been starting. I think Bobby should be in the home run derby. But I think there could have been more. But you're not a winning team.
You're not a winning team.
So
yeah.
Why do you deserve it? You know? So Bobby Wood Jr. and Chris Bubich are the all-stars. To be fair, those are your two best players on the roster.
Yeah.
Defensively, offensively, pitching-wise, Bubich's been there all year. Bobby Wood Jr., 292 is not 335, but let's see where he's at in September when it comes to the AVG.
Last one word, Kershaw, a legend pick for the All-Star team. Manfred has named Kershaw to the NA All-Star team. It's now his 11th time in the career.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love is the word I'll use, because that's what we should be doing. We should have roster exemptions in All-Star games for the legends of the game, so we get to see these guys. That's what it's all about, right? You want to see the guys that you know, and for the commissioner to be able to have that exemption, I think that's awesome, man. I wish he'd use it more, but maybe he's using it the right amount. I think it's only the third or fourth time that he's used that commissioner's exemption. I think it's fantastic.
I'd say advantage. Can't do it in football, because you'd love to see, like, Kelsey go to a Pro Bowl. Yeah, basketball, I mean, midseason, though, so you could be like, hey, this is LeBron didn't get voted into the All-Star game, which never will happen, but, like, this is LeBron's last go. Or
are there contract things with this? Because that's why I couldn't do it in the NBA. It's just like so much money on the line.
Incentives and
stuff. So much money.
No, it's well done. I mean, let Kershaw go in there and pitch in the sixth inning. Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, cranks a two-run homer, and Bobby wins All-Star Game MVP.
Be cool to see this happen, though, more, because that's what baseball has not been able to do, is really support and market and champion their players, as we've said. And now they're doing a good job with that. They've got a lot of good young players that they're championing and keeping Kershaw, you know, kind of out there and letting everybody know this is one of the legends of the game. We're going to let you see him. I think it's great for the game. It's an all-star game. Who cares, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's cool.
If somebody's mad about that, good Lord.
And it's showing in the ratings.
Yeah, and it shows that they listen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And people like this. By the way, I know this is baseball card stuff, and it's stupid. So, Kershaw, 3,000 strikeout.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Topps did?
They got the part of the jersey and threw it in there.
Yeah, so the MLB logo on his pant,
oh,
they cut out, put it on a card. He signed 3,000 strikeouts. Clayton Kershaw, it is out in the world.
Wow.
One of one.
One of one.
That's cool.
That's yeah. sick. That is awesome.
I mean, I just imagine.
What's it worth already?
I don't know. Nothing, because it's not out. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's got some value, but I mean, it's one of those random, like, hey, Topps knows how to do it. So that'd be
that
a cool
is sick.
Line.
I thought Topps' deal was done with the MLBPA.
I don't know. His back pant logo of MLB is
that's cool.
on a card, and
that's
he signed
neat.
It.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty sick. I feel like I'd want my kids to find that, but that's not on me. But coming up, a century of music. What's on your list? Apple and Spotify have done theirs. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Little posty?
yeah, he's on this list enough.
Yeah, man, like I get it.
Eight times.
I'm going to go ahead and call it because Apple Music came out with their top, or whatever it is, 500 streamed songs, and you sent us yours
yeah,
on
the
Spotify.
Last decade, yeah.
Love the number one, Bama Breeze, great song.
Yeah, isn't it a great song, though?
Put like, your windows down on a stressful day and put that on and tell me you're not back in it.
Yeah, Bama Breeze by Jimmy Buffett is just one of the, it's just a chill, like, you'll love it song. Yeah, that was my number one, yeah.
But Apple Music's list, again, like, maybe I'm, and I love music. Like, I listen to music all the time, right? Like, I said, Mac, you know, 11:30 p.m. songs, like, hey, check out this song.
There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not sending a song to somebody.
Right. And, dude, 10 years of Apple Music, the number one song is Shape of You by Ed Sheeran.
I told my wife that yesterday. She's like, what? Really?
Am I the only one who doesn't listen to Ed Sheeran?
No, I think, well, that's funny because you say you don't. My wife says she doesn't really care for him. To me, it's, I don't care.
Like, I mean, I know his songs. I know that one that's like, when your legs don't work like they used to.
Yeah. Before. Yeah. That's a good song. Yeah.
That's in like every wedding now.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Or that one DJ at like a prom, like was a jerk and played it while the prom queen was like a paraplegic.
Years ago, the professional dancers at BMA did a dance to that song.
Believe
and,
it.
I mean, let me tell you something. Whew. Was that not hot?
I mean,
imagine Emma dancing to that song.
I know
right?
that I'm hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But Shape of You is number one. Blinding Lights by The Weeknd was number two. Yep. God's Plan, number three by Drake, which that was like number four on your list. Sunflower, the Spider-Man intro to the Superverse or whatever.
Number four on my list was Africa by Weezer.
Not Toto. And then Rockstar, Post Malone was number five.
Yeah.
Post Malone was on here eight times.
In the top what?
Top 100.
Top 100, eight times.
He's almost 10% of the top
100. So I ask you, who, if you had gun to your head, who performs at the halftime in 2 years, Drake or Post Malone?
I think Drake has got like a bad rap from a lot of athletes.
Yeah. Because it'd be great if you went Kendrick last year and then brought back the rebuttal against him and it was Drake
awesome.
This year.
Yeah, but
super cool.
I just, yeah. didn't they announce the halftime? Didn't we say somebody last week or 2 weeks ago? When
Who was
they were
the guy that
Jay-Z. Yeah, that's right.
Which
yeah.
rumors, we'll see.
It's not official.
And like his organization is in charge of the
Yeah, right.
Choice.
Which is, you know.
Which would feed into why it might be a Post Malone or a Drake. But I don't know what Drake and Jay-Z's beef is.
Yeah, but I think Drake has a lot of beef with a lot of professional athletes, right? Like, I think if they announce Drake at the halftime show of the Super Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm 48, I can be out of touch with this, but I would think they would get a lot of backlash from a lot of prominent people on social media, you know?
I think you're right.
Like the, you know, just every NBA player, first of all, every NFL player, every college basketball, like, I think everybody would be like, nah, we're not going down this route here, man. We don't want Drake. So I don't know. I just think he's out on that one.
The first time I believe Taylor Swift was on this list was at 57.
Wow.
And it was Cruel Summer. That was the song that she got on.
I do like that song, but only one time she's on that list?
Of course it's a great song. It's written by Jack Antonoff. But yeah, that's just the first time she's on the list. Morgan Wallen, he's on there at first time at 67 with Last Night, which I could go the rest of my life and never hear that song again. But it's just, it's nuts, man. I mean, the genre, a lot of it is rap music, which is fine. But yeah, Taylor Swift's next appearance on this list in the top 100 on Apple is 80 with Blank Space.
That's crazy. I'm looking at my top 100 right now and I'm like, where the hell is Taylor Swift on my top 100? Then I realized I've been listening to this service for 8 years prior till I started really listening to Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah, and you probably listen to all those like Buffetts and stuff
I mean, I'm going, it's like Dave Matthews, Billy Joel, Jimmy Buffett, Weezer, Darius Rucker, Bon Jovi, John Denver. Let's see.
Taylor Swift on there three times total.
Three times, not one time on my
Cruel Summer, 100. Blank Space, and then Lover at 97th.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so nuts, the 100th song in the last 10 years is All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah.
Oh, it's a great song. It's such a great song. It really is. Like, everybody at Christmas time listens to that song, right?
Oh, it's the only song you listen to during Christmas.
Yes. Like, I'm surprised there's not it's not higher on that list, because I think if you ask everybody your favorite Christmas song, everybody knows, no matter what generation you're in, Mariah Carey.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know how to check your top 100 on mine. I mean, mine will just be, like, flooded with Blink and Zach Bryan and probably like Lord Huron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, yeah.
Mac, anything stand out on your top 100 or your?
No, it's like the same stuff that I've always listened to. I'm just surprised at the Apple's top 100. How much hip hop? I mean, I guess I should know that it's that much hip hop. It's just crazy to me.
Is Spotify's not that way?
I have to go look, but I from what I've saw, it wasn't like, I mean, I think it was similar, but I just thought there was a little more indie, like alt kind of stuff on Spotify's rather when this is like. This is Drake. It's The Weeknd. It's Chris Brown. It's Billie Eilish, which I guess isn't hip hop.
Right. But I mean, it's all popular music, though. Yeah. I mean, to what's going on, right? I mean, it's all stuff people are listening to. It's not like they're rolling out like Miley Cyrus, number 10 on my list, Malibu. Like, why is that number 10 on my list?
Yeah. I mean, the repeat offenders in mine are like Bleachers, Zach Bryan, 1975, John Mayer, Slightly Stupid. Blink, and then there's just a bunch of like indie stuff that I'll listen to. And then Angels and Airwaves is on there as well a lot of times. So, yeah, I mean,
I've got some Coldplay on mine.
You do?
Yes. Yellow. Love some Coldplay. Yeah. Yep. Yellow and Sky Full of Stars.
I mean, I'm all over the place. I've got here's 42.
How many times is it getting played in the garage?
I mean, but like, I'll just read you 40 to 50, good. Right? Here's 40. Madonna, Katy Perry, The Weeknd, Badfinger, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Grateful Dead, DeBarge, Lizzo, Everclear, Lil Troy, and Starship. Those are just 40 to 50. Like, I am all over the place.
Starship the band or Starship Nicki Minaj?
Starship the band. Okay. We built this city. Yeah. We built this city.
I was thinking, yeah, that makes more sense.
Because I know the Lil Troy song is baller.
Yeah, oh yeah. We built this city on Alex Gold.
Could you imagine if you just were driving down, like, Metcalf and you passed Bob's Bronco and he's just got, wanna be a baller.
Shot caller. Hell yeah. Reminds me of the first Super Bowl. There was this taco restaurant that we went to, and the song was on every day that we were sitting there. It also had a Port-a-John for a speakeasy, which was the best.
That's awesome.
Love that.
Yeah, you knock on a Port-a-John door, they open a speakeasy in the back. Sick. It was unbelievable.
That's we built cool. this city on Alex Gold. I haven't heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
She's such a smooth ride.
Florida-Georgia line, Justin Love. Moore. Love.
Yeah, what's Wall the flowers. Justin Moore song? He can't even skin a buck.
Why We Drink.
Oh, well.
There we go.
How much time do you have?
Tracy Chapman.
Fast Car?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here Revolution is her best song.
I'm surprised that's not in my top 100.
That
I'm
one?
Stunned, yeah.
Yeah. Don't you know, talking about a river.
You've heard that? Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah,
great song. Great song. Vernon, 20 minutes, but coming up, we get...
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team... feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
To what is the most popular time of the year for the NFL. It's that top 100 list. I'm upset with who they have at 100 because that's just blasphemy. coming up on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.